السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. This will be a crux of a book that I had written many years ago. Al-Aqsa, the past, the present, and inshallah, the future. So most of it is just reading from different parts. May Allah Tabarakala make it beneficial for all. And at the ending, when we come, you will see that how I will try to explain that maybe we saw the past, meaning in history. Because the past we're speaking about is from after World War II. That's the time where we were just coming into this world. So the bombs that were falling at that time, we never heard those bombs. We only heard our own bombs that were falling. We were babies at that time. We never knew the world went through a war. Because of that, many people, when you tell them, before World War, do you know the Muslim world was different? They can't understand it. Because if you were never in a position and you grow up out of it, so many grow up without even saying, when will the Khilafat come back? Because we never saw a Khilafat. Many grow up with the fear that Muslims will never manage to take over the evil powers. Because they never saw the era where we had power over every overpower. At one time the Muslim leader wrote to the King of France that some of our Muslims come over into your land, and recently they said to me that they saw people dancing in the streets, women. It really irritated them. So he said, you rather put a stop to it. If someone wants to dance, your Christian girls, boys, they must go dance somewhere else. But if they're going to dance in the streets and my Muslims come in your land and they see it, he says, then you're asking me to come with my warriors into your land. One time they spoke like that. And in that land, then they brought an end to it. He said, no one in the public will dance. But then World War came and Allah Ta'ala got his system. And with World War, the beginning of the book starts, the city of Aqsa has, with the passing of time, seen more wars and battles than what the mind could ever imagine. Yet Al-Quds still remains, while millions who fought over it have gone to their graves. It has a history as old as history itself, because first it was on this place where we see the Kaaba today. Allah Ta'ala directed his divine gaze towards this. This was the first place chosen on the whole earth. When there was no one there, it was the place called Kaaba. And 40 years after that, Allah Ta'ala directed his focus on what we call today Al-Aqsa. And it was these two which were going to remain pivotal for the entire world after this. Man's creation was from the place where the Kaaba was made. Man's resurrection will be made at the place where Al-Aqsa. Before Qiyamah, whichever people are left living, there will hardly be many, but few of them will move towards Yemen. So a fire will come out from the waters, and it will start pushing those people who are gone to Yemen up, up, up. They will come past Makkah, Medina, and they will go back into Aqsa. Once they will go into Aqsa, the fire will then go away, they will be back in Al-Aqsa, and that is where the final trumpet will be blown. The beginning of man Al-Kaaba, the end of man Al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala's unique powers are directed to, we will now say four places, but we are going to speak about two. One is the Kaaba. But because Dajjal himself was very well aware that Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, you're not getting it at all. That is why effort has never been made to try to take over these two lands. Otherwise, the first place they would have gone after World War, instead of Aqsa, would have been Makkah. Would have been Medina Munawwara. That was more important than even Al-Aqsa. But Allah Ta'ala had put barriers, and those enemy powers understand how much they could go. When someone had met Dajjal in the early days, he mentioned, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara is a no-go for me. I cannot enter it. He never mentioned Aqsa. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about it, he said, and Al-Aqsa also. And Al-Aqsa. Which meant either Dajjal himself never knew it or he never wanted to believe it. So from the time his people were able to get that chance, they went for Al-Aqsa. And from that time until today, they're still trying to get Al-Aqsa. This is one of the unique miracles of the world. Ask any person who has visited the land of Al-Aqsa, who's in charge? They'll say the Jew. They say, does the Jew control Al-Aqsa? I say, no. What stops the Jew taking control of it? No one knows. The people in Al-Aqsa have no weapons. And the Jews around it are very well armed. They have no fear of anyone in the world telling them anything. They saw it already in Gaza. They did what they wanted, how long they wanted. What stopped them tomorrow taking over Al-Aqsa? But there is some unique power that doesn't allow it. So they just remain where they remain. And from how many years they are still in that spot? How many years? So first we will understand the history of this land from the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. How Allah Tabarakala at that time spoke about Al-Aqsa. And how Allah Tabarakala indicated what the end of Al-Aqsa will be. But before we go into that, we want to know what is Al-Aqsa. So you will see in the center of Al-Aqsa is like a masjid which is called the Dome of the Rock. Everyone sees the dome. And if you go inside, there is the rock. And that's where people perform salah above it. The Dome of the Rock. Many years ago, a poster would come out. You would show the Dome of the Rock. And then people would say, this is Al-Aqsa. After that, another poster came out to say, this is not Al-Aqsa. Aqsa is the masjid in front. So then that became Al-Aqsa. In reality, Al-Aqsa is an entire compound. It starts from the masjid, which is known as today the Umayyad Masjid. In the center of it is the Dome of the Rock. If that's the center, then it goes to the other side. This entire compound. Some of the compound is covered, some is not covered. The entire compound is called Al-Aqsa. When a scholar wrote about Al-Aqsa many years ago, he said, وَالَّذِي لَا زِلْنَا نَخْشَىٰ. He said, I fear that people will start understanding that the building in front, only that is Al-Aqsa. And they will forget that that is only a part of Al-Aqsa. وَأَنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ هُوَ الْأَكْبَرُ وَالْأَرْحَبُ. The masjid is much more huge. The masjid is much more spacious. So Masjid Al-Aqsa is that entire compound. The state of Israel was formed most likely in about 1948. But Masjid Al-Aqsa went into their control after that six-day war. So that was in about 1967. Masjid Al-Aqsa, it has a history that a few times there was a destruction of Al-Aqsa. One was the Aqsa of Sulaiman alayhi salam. A very mighty king from Iran came, Babylon. That time Iran, Iraq was the same from Iraq. So he came in, he destroyed the masjid. He destroyed it in such a manner that the people were taken away. The masjid was destroyed, no one living. A Nabi of his time came past, he asked, will ever life come back to this place? And before 100 years passed, Allah Tabarakala brought Al-Aqsa back up again. First history of Al-Aqsa. That before 100 years, Aqsa bounces back. The second time that we know in history when Al-Aqsa went, was when the Crusades entered. They entered and they established around it also what was called the kingdoms of the Christians. So forget only controlling Aqsa itself, the entire Sham was this. The entire Sham, four Christian kingdoms. That was to make sure Muslims never ever get back into it. But before the passing of 100 years, we all know the name Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Before the passing, about 90 years, and Al-Aqsa bounced back. People never thought it's possible. Al-Aqsa got a unique history. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about 100 years, that in my ummah there is this issue of 100. So Al-Aqsa went into these filthy hands in about 1967. 100 years will be 2067. That is the maximum. If it hits 90 years like how it hit with Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, then you're looking at 2057. If it comes even before that, may Allah make it come very quickly. But think about that age what I'm speaking about. Even if it's 40 years from now, it might be that my eyes might still be open on that day. And if it's 30 years, and if it's 20 years, but when that Al-Aqsa will fall back into Muslim hands, most likely, because the indication of Quranic ayat which we can now discuss, is that's going to now be the end. That is now going to be the end. That will be the coming of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. That will be the slaying of Dajjal. So if we're hitting that maximum 2067, and it could be easier 10 years before, 20 years before, then now we're not only saying, hey, how lucky I'll be to see Al-Aqsa back in the hands of the Muslims. Now you have to understand that at that time, many of us will be at the prime of our strength. And if at that time, Isa alayhi salam will take over, then you mean 10 years before that is the Mahdi? Where I pulled you all from? Everyone was first thinking, 2067, yeah, I got time to get 5 more children. Then I'm in 2057, maybe. Then I said, that'll be Isa alayhi salam, if it's 10 years earlier. Then 10 years before that will be the Mahdi. 2047. Now you will start thinking, okay, I got so many years left. So what you'll do tomorrow? Immediately sign up for the jump. Our lives have to change. Our lives have to change. But which jamming? The first jamming is the jamming of iman. It's because when those days will start, all the fancy houses will no longer be that. A man will have to be able to say, oh Allah, if it's my house keeping me back, then I give my house away. If it's my family keeping me back, then I let them go. A sahabi radiallahu anhu, either a sahabi or someone going in the battle, his words were this, that oh Allah, if it's my family keeping me back, I'm ready to divorce. So we don't have to divorce at that moment, but some of us will be happy to say that, you know what? That I'm sure that side there's something better. To be able to make the mind of our families, that you might say 25 years is still far. 25 years. But when I meet people, he tells me, you know what, I'm buying a house. I took it on whatever is called loan from the bank. It'll only take me 55 years to pay off. So there he knows 55 years he'll still be alive. So 25 years, now it's not long. To build the iman, it needs time. To prepare yourself for the future, it needs you to see your future. For which reason we say, go to the lands of Syria. On your next holiday, go visit it. See what happened after a war. See how people live after a war. Go into the lands of Sham. Go into the lands of Al-Aqsa. Look at it around and say, if this has to be my land one day, will I manage? Because man can manage where his heart is. Heart is where his wealth is. You go already there and you start putting up something. Not for yourself, for somebody else living. But you put up. He can live in it how long he needs to live, but the day I come, I know I got something. I put it up, it's mine. Let someone use it. But I got it. Every few years I'll go, I'll look at it, I'll do something else. Our children must know that this is the land of Islam. Think of the whole world. I have visited countries from all sides by Allah's kindness. And everyone normally when I come back they'll ask like, okay, that country. Furthest on one side, New Zealand. We reached New Zealand. Then they told me that you got few days, otherwise we would have taken you to the end of New Zealand. End, very beautiful. I said, when the beginning is not beautiful, how the end is going to be? It was raining that time, so I couldn't see any beauty. They said, someone came from America. He went to the end of New Zealand, one alim, and he bought land there. Beautiful land, green. I said, at the end of New Zealand, like what he bought land there for? I'm telling everyone to buy land in Al-Aqsa. He went and bought land at the end of New Zealand. They said, because he said when the war breaks, then the furthest spot where maybe the atom won't reach will be that end, furthest from China. So I said, if you meet him, give him my salams and says, when the angel of death comes, he'll meet you at the end of New Zealand also.
Now you worried about the atom bomb. You can die because of heart attack. Don't run from death. We have to know. So the world is huge. But the whole focus of every war that has taken place from World War, where has that focus been? The main focus is one triangle. Starting from what we today they call Israel, but go further, you will see Gaza. Little bit on the top there is Al-Aqsa. You will see a line. This is called a spiritual line. This line goes, it covers Gaza, it covers Aqsa, Israel sitting there where it doesn't want, we don't want it to sit, but he came away there. And then as it goes, you will see one spot which is called the city of New. That will also fall inside. It will go past Midian. It will come around, it will enter now into the lower parts of Arabia. It will enter into Makkah, Mukarrama. It will go into that Yemen area. It will go around Medina Munawara. Starting from Yemen to Sham. This entire land is the most valuable piece on earth. Most valuable. And all the wars of the world are only focused here. Otherwise you will tell these people, when Israel started saying that Germany is butchering us, we need a land. There was more than enough land in the world. More than enough. Countries opened up their doors for them. At their meeting, they even said, we got this land. They only wanted the land which they went for. Because they understood the value of that land. The superpowers of the world were forced. At that time, Britain was a superpower. It was only allowed to be a superpower if it would work for the purpose of giving them the land. America was going to become a superpower. You only allowed a superpower if you work for the purpose of keeping them the land. In the war of Gaza, people worried, wondered, what America got to do so much with Israel? Americans are Christians. Israelis are Jews. You like the Jew. How much are you going to like the Jew? But when money comes, even a brother doesn't like his brother. But in this war, America's economy can collapse. But the Jew in Israel, in Gaza, he must be protected. America's economy can collapse. Whoever had to become a superpower would work towards it. Work towards that goal. Germany was a superpower. They were made to work for that goal. They killed Jews to make sure Jews go. And then they were removed. Britain came in, they made sure they settled, then they were removed. America came in, they make sure they were protected. Everyone had their time, and the time comes where everyone goes. So speaking, so that's that 100 years. 2067, 2057, 2047, 2037. It could be any time. But to prepare already from now, a lot of things are happening in the world. In Quran, Allah Tabarak Sala has a beautiful ayah, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَاهُ. People will always say, when is going to happen? قُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ قَرِيبًا. Say to them, perhaps it will be very soon. Meaning, are you ready for it? Are you ready? When I say, am I ready for it? A sahabi asked, مَتَ السَّاعَ, when is Qiyamah? Allah's Rasul said, what preparations you made? Because it's going to come, but when it's coming, are you ready? Meaning your death was intended. When your death is going to come, are you ready for it? This is going to happen. Am I ready? Readiness doesn't just mean that I say, MashaAllah. At that time when the flags of Islam start going up in the world, people will have to make a lot of sacrifices. That will be the biggest test of hypocrisy. Because when man's iman and man's mal, wealth, come in front of him, wealth and iman, then man has to at that moment think, what does he choose? That is why once a week Allah Tawarukala gave us an imtihan. And day by day I see many of our friends failing this imtihan also. The Jews were given an imtihan on the day of Saturday. Don't do business. Cut off, stop. But they couldn't manage. Year and year they would make their deals. Those that were on the waters, they saw the fish coming on Saturday. So they said, Friday night we'll throw in the nets. Sunday morning we'll pull it out. We're not fishing on Saturday.
It's called playing games with Allah. Allah tabaraka ta'ala changed them into like swine, monkeys. They remained alive for about 3 days and then they died. Quran speaks about it. To say what? Don't behave like them. In today's time, Saturday, the Jews can't do business. They're not supposed to walk on the earth to the shop. I never believed it until someone pointed out to me that they have established lines. This was a while ago. Lines from a shop to one window of their flat. And then they make an order because on Saturday no one's able to walk on the earth. So the order goes in the sky. Now very soon with drones they won't even need those lines. The drone will just lift up. As long as you don't go on the earth, you'll think I'm joking. These Jews, it's an amazing nation. Their women were told, you'll never go outside the house without your hair covered. So what they did, they cut off all their hair. And they got wigs. That also you won't believe. One friend, they stay in that Jewish circle where you got that staunch Jews. They got a certain place where they go for their baths when they become clean from their periods. You can't bath in the house. So you will bath in that public bath place. So all the women go there. So this woman, Muslim people, they moved in there. So her friend was taking her. Now you come here, you see only hair. All hanging. She's wondering, so much, what's this? Then she sees all the Jewish blondes, brunettes, all bleskops. All coming out of the waters. She's shocked. Like. She said, what's this? She says, no, God doesn't like us to go outside with our hair uncovered. So we just took out the hair. Now we're not hair uncovered. Amazing nation. That is why they will kill whoever they want to kill. You wondering how they killed in Gaza, they got no feeling. This is a nation that killed the Anbiya. And even then they found an answer for it also. Even then they had an answer. Why it's right for me to kill this Nabi? Answers for everything. But Quran mentioned it and then Allah Ta'ala gave me and you an exam. إِذَا نُوذِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ That on the day of Friday, your exam is not hard like theirs. There the whole Saturday, no work. Yours is only when the Adhan of Jummah, till the time the Jummah takes place. At that time, stop all business. All business. But man's nature is, Nabi Sallallahu said, you will follow the ways of the people. They asked, which people? The Yahud. He said, who else? He said, you will follow them to the T. Now we go and we see the business is open. I went to one masjid. I saw one friend. In one town I go now. They say, you're not going to come again. So let's get 3 bayans. How you get 3 bayans? Jummah in one masjid. And then before the Jummah Salah takes place, they take me out to another masjid. So I will make my Jummah in the second masjid. I say, Allah Pak, don't bring a third masjid in this town. They'll make me go third one. Jummah, Jummah, Jummah. But in the one masjid, I met one friend. In the other masjid, I met the other friend. He came to meet me. He said, no, I read here because my boss reads there. Why? So I'm in the shop and then he just finishes and he comes and I come and the shop carries on. Masala-wise, 100% okay. Exam-wise, you're not writing your exam. Exam-wise, you're not. Say, Moana, do women have to come for Jummah? The Imam Sahib will say, definitely not. He said, lucky. I told her. Then the Moana asked, why are you asking that question? He said, she must sit in the shop. There's no Jummah for her. He said, you're supposed to close the doors. He said, how can I close my doors? إِذَا نُوْدِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ The proof that Allah wanted the doors to close was, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ After the salah, now go in the earth and search for Allah's sustenance. Almighty Allah never said that after the Jummah, now go in the earth and send your wife home. He said, after, go and search for Allah's sustenance. But what was the purpose of it? If every Friday you go through the exam, that you know I get so busy on Friday, are you asking me to close for that 1 hour? Say, yes, we're asking you to close. And then you see that wealth, if it never come in that 1 hour, has to come. Then when the day comes where iman and wealth comes in front, man will say, I practiced so many years. So many years on a Friday, I closed my doors when Allah said close. I saw wealth always came to me. And he moves. But if you don't have a practice, we said go to the jam. This is one jam. Once a week practice. The business has to close for even half an hour. Close the doors. Have it written there, close for Jummah. Have it written. To prove that where my sustenance comes from. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. The rule of your sustenance is made in the sky. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ. On that day when it comes, will me and you be ready for it. Allah Ta'ala had chosen the place of Al-Aqsa, as I mentioned, 40 years after Makkah Mukarramah. So Adam alayhi salam did some work, and then Adam alayhi salam's, or Nuh alayhi salam's son, Sam, did some work. But the greatest work that started really in Al-Aqsa came in the era of Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam started, and then he made wasiyat to his son Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, 4 years after rule starting, he began with the help of the jinn. They began erecting what was known as the Masjid of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Masjid, not temple. There was never ever a temple for a Muslim. There was never a temple for a Christian. There was never a temple for a Jew. The only people who had the word temple were fire worshippers. The only people who had the temple were fire worshippers. So when they speak about the temple of Solomon, then you will understand that Jew is not a Jew. That Jew is a fire worshipper. Fire worshipper means a devil worshipper. Devil worshipper means an agent of Iblis, an agent of Dajjal himself. No one from the three, Muslim, Christian or Jew, ever had the word temple. Temple of Solomon got to do with the worship of the devil. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had it built, and because jinnat built it, you can understand how beautiful it became in that era. We're not going to go in how beautiful they made it. It was built by the jinn. When they saw this masjid coming up, the first promise which was made to them. Now when it was made, so very quick in history, we're going to see, this is the map. On my left hand side is Egypt. On my right hand side is Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. Going upwards you will come to the lands of Sham. All is on my right hand side. Egypt is on my left hand side. And in between here you will get like the road between this side, Hijaz, and the road between Egypt. And this road was known as the connecting road with Sham going to Yemen, because Yemen to Sham. And going to Egypt. So this is the map of the world. Starting from Yemen, Makkah, Medina, Sham. Going this way on this road, here you will come to what is called Gaza a little. And then you're taking the road to Egypt, and then this part is Egypt. In between here you get what is known as like a desert, they call it the Sinai Desert. This is our map. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in Egypt. And now Allah Ta'ala gave him permission to come out of Egypt and to go towards Sham. But Sham will go like this and go upwards. But first Musa alayhi salam wasn't going to go to Sham, because Sham already had a lot of people who were living Amalika. They were powerful, they had the land, you needed to prepare, you needed to fight. So Musa alayhi salam would go back to Madian. He grew up in Madian so many years, he knew the people of Madian, he got married in Madian. So Musa alayhi salam, when taking the Bani Israel, he would take them back to Madian. On the way he makes a slight error. Allah wanted it to happen, and he lands up in front of waters. Had he gone a little further, he would have turned and gone to Madian. But he took a turn early and he lands up by the waters, which is called the tip of the Gulf of Aqaba. That's when Musa alayhi salam is stuck. The Bani Israel say, now what? How are we going to go back up? It's only mountainous regions. They have already entered into that mountainous region. Musa alayhi salam said, my Allah is with me. Then he hits on that waters. It's not a big amount to cross, it's a tap. So he hits on it, the waters shift, and the entire group then cross. Then Firaun and his army enter and they drown. When Musa alayhi salam crosses, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu would say, should I tell you where they reached when they crossed? They reached Madian. So Madian is just above what we will call Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. If you don't know Madian, then you could see on the map today where they're building the city of Neom. Nearby there you will see mention of Madian. So at Madian, Musa alayhi salam stayed for a while, and then they were comfortable in Madian, but he told them that this is not our land. Our land is Sham. Our land is Sham. As he's taking them, that's when they say that can we not have a book from our Rabb? Something we can relate with. They were with Fir'aun so many years, so they started asking. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is told, come to the mountain. Any mountain, that entire region's mountains were known as fertile mountains, so it's called Tur. Tur means any fertile mountain. So wherever they were on the roads, Musa alayhi salam was told, you go into those fertile mountains. Separate from the people. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes for a period of 40 days. When he returns with the Torah. Unlike the Quran, which came in 23 years, for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the book comes once. In the Torah, there's many commands, but Bani Israel's nature from the beginning is, they're not worried of commands, they're worried about promises. So everything got to do with the promised land. Because that was the land from which they had left when they went to Egypt. That's the land they want to go back. But in that land, there is a very strong group called Amalika. How are we ever going to take over that land? So Allah Tabarakala promises the Bani Israel. It's called the promised land. It was promised to them at that time. Today when they speak about the promise, you say promise fulfilled already. Promise fulfilled. You never fulfill your side of the promise. So what Allah Tabarakala promised them? Normally when you promise, you tell him, I promise I'll give you the land. But here the promise was different. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. So this is on the first page of Surah Bani Israel. And that is why it's important for us to learn Quran and to learn a little of the meaning of Quran. May Allah Tabarakala allow that for all of us also. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Imagine one day you go to the lands of Sham and you're fighting in that battle. May Allah make it. Then one person comes and he got one girl next to him. And now he's telling you something. But your mind is, he's offering you his daughter. And he's trying to tell you that she needs an operation. And you say, yes, I'm ready. And he gets so happy that you're ready to sponsor. And you're thinking you're getting someone pretty because you don't know the language. And if you think that day Google Translate will help me, you might be at a place where even Elon Musk's Starlink doesn't operate. Because of war. At that time you say, I wish I learned Arabic at the beginning. Because you think you're getting married and that uncle comes with the doctor and he says, he's paying the whole thing. And then the doctor takes you one side, you thought you're giving the meher, and you took out the money, and now you're waiting for your girl. You say, what girl? This is called cooperation. So then you say, I wish I knew this language. Learn the language of Quran. This is our language of our deen. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. We are told the Bani Israel in the book, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. When normally you say, I promise you the land, Allah Tabarakala said, forget the land. I promise you that you in the land will cause corruption, mighty corruption twice. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. And you will behave in the land like how Fir'aun behaved. For Fir'aun, Allah had mentioned, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَىٰ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Fir'aun behaved in the lands as though he was God. Love who you want to love. يَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. I'll slaughter the children. I'll let the woman love. I'll let the girls love. I'm a god. Fir'aun did it. They hated Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala said, you'll do the same thing. So forget promising. I promise you the land. He said, rather I tell you, the day you're going to get the land, you're going to behave like Fir'aun. لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Two times. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. You will behave very high and mighty, just like Fir'aun. At that time, imagine you get the promise, you say, no, never, me. Where I'll do this? فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا. The first promise then came. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, as long as he was alive, everything was running. It was known as the golden era of the Bani Israel. The jinnat were working for them. They were supposed to be making so much of shukr to Almighty Allah. But it's a unique nation. As soon as Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, this is a unique point in Quran. I haven't counted it, but scholars have mentioned. It says, Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away in the year 953. They call it BC. Because like from the time of the world till before coming, we normally say of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So 953, that's when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, they say passes away. 953 BC. So some scholars said, if you go into Surah Saba, where the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam is mentioned. So if you count the letters from the beginning of the surah till that verse which speaks about the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said you will get 934. He passed away in 935. So you'll get 934, and the next verse which starts about his death, that one starts with 935. I never counted it, but if you want to, you can go and count it. You will see 935, hopefully, if it's right. If it's not right, I told you from the beginning, I never do the counting. But some people wrote it, so I just quoted it. When Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, immediately there was a breakaway. And the breakaway kingdom, what a name they took. By saying immediately, it means while they lived under Sulaiman alayhi salam, already they were not happy to be under him. Already they were evil. But because of his power, they behaved good. As soon as he passed away, a breakaway kingdom came. So Sulaiman alayhi salam's land took the name the kingdom of Judah. This remained in the south. And in the north, the breakaway evil satanic kingdom. And what a name they took. What name do you think they would have taken? Not so many. Israel. They took the name Israel. That time, the center of satanic worship. That time, Israel. They got something with this name. At that time they took the name Israel. And naturally when you now you the breakaway kingdom, so we go in every town, you see the old people are in the masjid, you say where the young guys are. I'm going to one country, they told me that you know what? Let's go to the universities for bayans. Let's go. I said soon you'll tell me let's go to the clubs for bayans. Because they try to tell me no one is coming to the masjid. It's only the old people, all the young people are in the schools. I said, all the younger people, more of them are in the clubs. And where are we going to go? So naturally, when you get a breakaway kingdom, all the old people remain good. But the young people, when they wanted to do bad, the old people would shout them and say, you dare do this in the kingdom of Solomon, I'll kick you out to that land. And the young one would say, please kick me out. And that's what's happening. So slowly, slowly people started moving. And then here, even in the kingdom of Judah, the evil from there now entered into here. Until a time came that the first which Allah Tabarakallah said in the promised lands, whatever Fir'aun once upon a time did, you will do it. They were doing it. Now whenever a Nabi was sent to them to say, you can't do this, they killed the Nabi. Directly they would never kill the Nabi. They would go and tell somebody else to get the Nabi killed. So that their hands were always clean. After the Nabi was killed, they would cry about it. They say, our mighty Nabi. They say, oh Allah, please send us another Nabi. But they were the ones who killed him. They were a unique nation. Whatever was haram, they made it halal. They knew how to play with the verses. They knew how to interpret, reinterpret, change. What was haram yesterday became halal tomorrow. Everything latufsidunna fil ard, they behaved as though they were Allah, and whenever they needed to get their work done, they said, Allah has invested in me this power. Allah has invested. They took Allah's name to make every haram halal. So Allah Tabarakallah said, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا, when the first promise will come, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا, we will send upon you. You will never believe it, but we will send. It was the mighty kingdom of Solomon. They never ever thought it will fall. But Allah Tabarakallah then started sending. Different countries started attacking the lands. They were not left at all. First there was what was called the Assyrians. They came. The southern kingdom managed to survive, but the northern kingdom of Israel was taken by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom survived for another 135 years, but it would carry on being attacked Egyptians, Assyrians, and finally Babylonians. This was Bukhtanasar. He managed to enter. Ba'asna alaykum ibadan lana uli ba'asin shadid. Said, the day you will see them, you will understand what power they will fall upon you. Bukhtanasar, he was a man with no feeling. Fajasu khilal ad-diyar, they will enter into the deep parts of the houses, which means even that private areas where your families are protected, nothing was left. Wakana wa'adam maf'oola, Allah Tabarakala says, and this was a promise that was done. Wakana wa'adam maf'oola, meaning when we read Quran, we know it happened. Then Allah Tabarakala then promised them, because two, isn't it? You will do it two times. So one time they made their facade and the first promise came destroyed. So the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the masjid collapsed. Whoever was not killed was taken away to the lands of Iraq. They were kept in captivity. Then many years later, a man by the name of Cyrus came. He defeated the Babylonians. He found many of them in captivity. He asked, where are you from? They said, from the land of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He said, that's like my brother. He was also a believer. We call him Zulqarnain. So he arranged for them to go back. He sent them and he said, if you need money also to put up. So they went back there and they did put up the masjid. But he was not there, and Zulqarnain also was going to pass away. His land was more the lands of Iran. And after he passed away, his kingdom remained for a short while after that. And then from what is known as Macedonia, Alexander the Great, he came in and he destroyed the entire region or the entire regime of Zulqarnain, and it became now the land of Alexander. So he also had his horns, that's why they used to call him also Sikandar. He also took that name, like I am. He was Alexander, before him was Cyrus. So Cyrus was the good one, Alexander was the fire worshipper. So Zulqarnain managed to get them there and he gave them money, they started building, but they were never in charge. Few of them went there. Others, some went to Yemen. Some stopped in Medina Munawwar. When they would be asked that, why Medina? So they would say, in our scriptures, we have been promised that the return to the land will take place on the hands of the man who will make hijrah to this land. That is why the Yahud settled in Medina Munawwar. This is one thing to ask the Yahud. If you ever meet the Yahud, because they nowadays call Lot, they say, our people were in Medina. Banu Qurayza. It's a question to ask the Yahud. Why did the Banu Qurayza come to Medina? Why did they come? That was not their land. Their land was Sham. What brought them to Medina? They only came to Medina because they knew the man of the land of Medina is the man promised who will take them back to the lands of Al-Aqsa. So when you ask the Yahudi, why did you all come to Medina? He'll have no answer. He can't say, I came there because the trees were smart. Lot of kajur. So the whole world. They came there because they knew that's their land. That's why they came. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, they looked at him, they knew this is the man. That with him we have been promised. Before Isa alayhi salam was taken to the heavens, he told, now after me it's my brother, just wait. Meaning we're getting back our land. The promised land. We're getting it back. But their nature was such. When they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also knew they would have to lose a lot of power. So again they started lying. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, I see the lands of Sham. That's why we speak about the 27th of Rajab. What was the 27th of Rajab? When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, I was taken with body to the land of Al-Aqsa. What was the reason of him being taken to the land of Al-Aqsa? It was announcement to everyone that this is the Nabi that man has been waiting for from the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. That's why in the Bible there's a chapter. The chapter, even today that chapter has this word where it says, Jerusalem continues crying for its savior. Jerusalem continues crying for its savior. And when it comes, who is savior? So the translation they got is the one whose name is so sweet. But that whose name is so sweet is a translation of this. If you have to go into the real Hebrew, and today you can easily, with the internet, you pull it out, you will find the name Muhammadin. Muhammadin. Meaning, I'm waiting for Muhammad to save me. They waited for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated very soon that land is ours. Umar radiallahu anhu then conquered it. When he came, everyone knows the history. There was no fight in Al-Aqsa. Why? The Christians, they recognized that this is the man who was promised in the book. What happened after that? After that, most of the Christians who lived around that land accepted Islam. And many of the Jews who were in the world accepted Islam. The proof of this here is, when they made a survey, human race experts state 90% of the current world of Jews are converts. They are not descendants from the original children of Yaqub alayhi salam. The Jews acknowledge that 10 of the tribes, when they say the 12 tribes from Yaqub alayhi salam, 12 tribes of Bani Israel, they say 10 of those tribes are lost. But they're not lost, they became Muslim. Because when Umar radiallahu anhu took over Al-Aqsa, Christians and Jews around the world accepted that this is what we were promised. So they became Muslim and they went to live there. Many of them who are getting killed today, we might call them Arabs, many of them are Bani Israel also. Many of them. Those that never accepted, they were going to remain where they remained. Banu Qurayza, they were kicked out, they moved, they went wherever they went. They waited. But there was a promise in Quran that you will make fasad in the land 2 times. So when was the second? Thereafter, when Umar radiallahu anhu took over and all of them accepted Islam, and then the mighty Islamic Khilafats were established. The Umayyad established. Then it was the Abbasids. Then it was the Ottomans. During that short time when the Crusades took over, at that time they thought this is the time that the Jews are coming back. But then Salahuddin al-Ayyubi came and they took over again. Then the Ottomans came. They became so mighty that Europe started shivering. During that entire time, the dream or the thought that where will the Jews ever get the chance to make fasad in the land of Al-Aqsa? Impossible. And then world war. From nowhere world war came. But Allah has made everything fall in a plan. Everything falls in a plan. The Khilafat was going to become weaker, and it was the decision of Allah. And Europe was going to become stronger, it was the decision of Allah. An indication had been made in the Ahadith, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when it will happen, he said, فَثْبُتُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ O servants of Allah, remain firm. The way he said it, فَثْبُتُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ Remain firm. Fasad in the east, fasad in the west. Corruption on every side. He said it will all start at the center between Iraq and Sham. He said it will all start on that road, that center in between. He said when it will start, Fasbutu ibadallah. With world war it started. And that's when we saw cries, we saw tears, we saw the hanging of ulama, we saw the falling of bombs. The whole world changed. Then we saw regimes. We saw what oppression which non-Muslims never did. Muslim leaders started doing. All of that happened. Many of us never knew because what we never saw. Now what we're seeing is the end of it. We are now seeing the end, meaning the beginning of the new era. Their days came, they had their chance, they did their zulm. They are reaching their end and Islam is reaching its beginning now. This is where we are. So when World War took place, the call was made. A land with no people, for a people who got no land. And everyone wondered, what are you talking about? Because there were more than enough people living in that land. But they wanted it, and they made everyone blind, and they brought the Jews in. And thereafter, a war took place, and the Arabs were shocked. 6 days from all sides, they thought one small Israel. But it was a promise of Almighty Allah which will take place. Jinnah bikum lafifa. Allah Tabaraka said, we will bring you now as a mixed group. mixed, meaning now you will not be genuine Bani Israel. You will now be a mixed race. But we will bring you from all sides into the land. They came in the land. That is why when Israel was established, 1948, and then 1966-7 when they took over Al-Aqsa, in that period one scholar of that land, when people came and told him, we lost the war, he fell in sajda. He fell in sajda. Then they asked him, is this the time to make sajda? He says, Allah had made a promise, and I see that promise now coming. I used to wonder where they'll make that second facade fill out. And then the Yahudi settled. And then they started. Fil Ard means in the lands of Sham. They established the Israel. It was part of the decision of Almighty Allah. And the zulm that they made in establishing it, and the zulm that they continue making, what we have seen is the little of the zulm. A lot of the zulm we have not seen at all. How Quran described it was the best. You will behave ulu fil ard, as though you are in charge of the land. They will say what they want, and the whole world will say, are you crazy? And they'll tell the whole world, you shut up. Let's keep quiet. You see, one man can tell the whole world. And then you'll get one president of America who he will threaten everyone in the world. But when the president of Israel goes to meet him in his office, then he'd come out and says, you know, he's my friend, like my chummy. I have to help him out. Say, you are very brave with the whole world, but this one guy, you're not brave. Can't brave. Uluwan fil ard. But how Allah Tabarakullah said, there our servants will destroy you. Ibadan lana. Allah Tabarakullah now says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When my second promise will come. Meaning how we destroyed you one time, we will destroy you a second time. This is this promise that me and you now wait for. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When the second promise will come, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. It will start where your faces will be spoiled in the world. لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wajhun means a person's reputation. Few years ago, the Jews enjoyed a very good reputation in the world. Everyone looked up to the Jew. When the war of Gaza took place, already the reality of the Jew came. He said, your reputation will be spoiled. لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدِ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And then will come the time when they will enter the masjid like how they entered the first time. Scholars have written, most likely it refers to how Umar radiallahu anhu entered it with no war. They will enter it with no war, inshallah. When their army will walk, Aqsa's doors will just open. كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. And they will destroy whatever you had put up in the world. Whatever the Jewish world had put up, their banks, their systems, their schools, their universities, their colleges. When we grew up, we thought they control the world. They said the Jewish lobby, but that lobby is collapsing. And inshallah, in the next 20, 30 years, we will see the total collapse of it. Already in the world, we are seeing the beginning of it. Where Muslim countries are saying, we are establishing our own system. Our own schooling system. Our own university system. Our own, we always had our system. This is where we are going. May Allah Tabarakala make that day come. But when that day comes, are we ready for it? May Allah Tabarakala let us also be ready for it. وَلَيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. This is one explanation of these verses. Remember, it's a translation according to the explanation. Remember that. The translation itself doesn't show this whole explanation. I am giving an explanation of these verses, that how we are seeing a possible explanation. So the translation is on it. If I had to give word for word translation, the second part would be, when the second promise will come, then the result will be they will blacken your faces. And they will enter the masjid how they entered it the first time. And they will destroy whatever they had put up in the world. But who is they? That's not mentioned in Quran. But this is an explanation that we are giving. It will be the army of Islam. And most likely it will be at that time when Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be coming down or just before that. Asa rabbukum ay yarhamakum. There's a possibility that your Rabb will then again have mercy on you, meaning give you one more chance. Some scholars have explained this here to be that the Jews and the Christians will get one more chance. When is that? When they will see Isa alayhi salam directly. Now you see, and many Christians and many Jews will make tawbah at that moment. And there will be those who will say, we'll fight against him. And they will remain with Dajjal. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. But if you return to your nonsense, we will return our punishment. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. And we have kept Jahannam as the mat for the disbelievers. This is like the end of the world. This is how we see it. May Allah Tabarakallah make that how we have hopes for the future. May Allah Tabarakallah show it even faster than we have those hopes. May Allah Tabarakallah let every one of us be of that Mubarak Jamaat that is able to walk into the lands without any war, to be able to make that sajda with the land again, and to see the promises of Allah falling in place and the destruction of the world of evil as Quran has mentioned. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.